I think it's really very important, as I said to the children, to sort of get into our head that what we are dealing with is truth. We're dealing with the Word of God, particularly with John when he writes like this. We've seen, we've touched, we've heard all of this, that we're dealing with truth, because there is so much false, stupid religious talk around that we need to always be coming back. What does the Bible actually say about this? What does the Word of God, the truth, say? Now, we might have a few variations on how we understand this or that, but the Word of God's the Word of God, and we need to come back to this, that, or else we are in big trouble. Big trouble. Righto, well, here we are today. Now, the if is the big difference, and we'll see that as we go through. But last week, in those first four verses of 1 John, we learned these lovely things. Heard, seen and touched. First-hand experience of the living God. How amazing. I mean, a lot of people would say that, wouldn't they, today? Oh, if only I could see Jesus, or if only Jesus was here now. Well, Jesus said, I'll do something better. I'll send the Holy Spirit, and he can be with each one of you. So I'll do something better than me being there, because I could only be in one spot at a time. But through the Holy Spirit, I can be everywhere. How wonderful. And one of the words that we saw last week was John's joyfulness in being a Christian and the joy that that brings. So friends, we are people of joy. And I don't mean silly joy. I mean there is an assurance within us that brings the joy of the living God. How important that is. The other word that I haven't got up there was the word fellowship or friendship. He said, our joy, or my joy, will be complete because of the relationship that we have with each other. In, pardon me, in verse 4, depends what your translation says. It would read something like this. We are writing this that our joy may be complete, that we might be full of joy, that your joy and our joy may be complete. It's interesting that when John writes, what he's saying is, when we come to understand Jesus, it's a joy for us all. And we want everyone to know about Jesus so they can share that same joy. Now, that really is, I hope, the thrust of evangelism for us. Not that we can say, oh yes, you know, I've led six people to Jesus, but that actually those people can know the joy of God as well because of what we've experienced. Now, if we're grumpy and not a joyful person in the sense of an assurance, but if everyone, as I've said before, if everyone's glad when you're not on the roster with them at work, that's not really a good testimony. Like, if people are happy to associate with you or to be a friend with you or something, how wonderful that is. What a testimony that is. But this is what John is saying. We are glad when we're all in this together to share. How wonderful. That's a prelude, isn't it, to what's going to be happening in heaven. Now, it's not new to be talking about light and darkness. And in the section that Sue read to us, we reread what we looked at last week, but then we went into verse 5 of, that's the first chapter of John's letter. This is the message we've heard, proclaim God is light and there is no darkness. Now, the whole idea of light and darkness is not new. It's in many religions. It's in Christian religion. It's in lots of religions. So, as I say, it's not new to be seeing here. Intellectually, truth and error, light and darkness, morally, our behaviour, pure or evil, wicked or good, and then righteous or unrighteous. So it's not new, and it makes sense. It links, of course, with what John wrote in his letter when he says, "The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not put it out." Now, we see lots of darkness around the world, but really, in all countries of the world, there is some little glimmer of Christian hope, even in some of those darkest countries. I mean, we saw when the people from Miracle Connect came here and shared with us what was going on in the broadcasting, in the IT world of sharing the gospel of Jesus. How incredible. How incredible. So when we talk about darkness, and you know, this room was completely black, dark, and we had a candle on the piano, after a while we would be able to see most of the things in this room, and we'd even be able to see the dust on the piano. So it's just amazing what one little glimmer of light can do. Some of you would have grown up singing that song, "Jesus Bids Us Shine," and you in your small corner, pardon? Yes, and you're in yours. That's right, Janet. I had a lecturer at a college I was at. He was a short little Welshman, fairly rotund, and he said, "Some of us aren't built for small corners," and which was true. So here we've got the light and the darkness, and now John is going to say, "Just test this through. Just see how this works out." There's going to be some tests, and there are three tests, A, B and C. I've listed them there. Right, so the first is what I've got down there, test and truth. Now, there's the denial, first of all. And really what John is saying is this, is all right to speak and say, "I believe in Jesus," but in fact, no. Glasses, fine. It's all right to say we believe in Jesus, but the test is how we actually live. So, here we have three claims of people and their denial by their life. So, the first one is the denial that sin breaks fellowship with God. And if you've got your Bibles, this is just a simple going through of what is said here. If we say we have fellowship with God, so that's our profession. Yes, I have fellowship with God. Right, I'm a Christian. That's who I am. But, he says, but, or while we still walk in darkness, that is, our life doesn't measure up to what we say. So if we say one thing but our life doesn't measure up, then in fact we lie and the truth isn't in us. Now, what we need to always realise is that being a Christian is not simply a profession of being a Christian. You know, I know some people live on that verse, you know, if we confess with our mouth, then we'll be saved. Yes, that's the start. But our friend Paul says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So many times I have said from here, we were saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. So there was a time perhaps when you said to God, "I understand what's going on, and yes, I commit my life to you." That's fine. then we're in the process of being saved. And then one day when we die or Jesus comes again, wow, there will be a salvation like we've never known before. So, what is John saying? Well, he's saying, on the board, if you can see it clearly, the ifs are in red. If we claim to have fellowship, but we walk in darkness, we lie and the truth is not in us, or we're not living according to the truth. But, he says, but if we walk in the light, so if we live in the awareness of who God is and we live according to what he has said, if we do this, if we walk in the light of God's revelation with truth, with sincerity, whatever else, then we have fellowship with each other and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Now, we've already heard in those first four verses how keen John is, for us to be together and to share the joy of togetherness. So what he's saying is, when we are prepared to walk in the light, then that happens. But if we don't walk in the light, if we say we're Christians, but we're not living as Christians, then in fact, it causes sadness. You know, is everyone else wrong? You've heard that, haven't you, that saying, you know, my son Johnny is the only one marching in time. Yes, he's the only one out of time. And sometimes in churches, oh, everyone else is wrong. Yeah, hang on a minute, have a look at yourself, have a look at myself. Is everyone else wrong? Or maybe it's me. And I think this is what John is saying here. If we walk in the light, then we have fellowship. If we're not walking in the light, if we're not walking as God wants us to, then in fact we can easily be out of sorts with other people. And if we're out of sorts with other people, maybe it's saying more about us than it is about them. Now, this is a bit of a challenge. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us. If we're not walking in the light, does the blood of Jesus not cleanse us? Is that possible? Why are you looking like that, Jill? Believe and you receive. Right, yes. And I do too. But, I mean, what John is saying here is an argument. If you're not living as God wants you to, well, does that mean you don't care about whether you're cleansed or not? Are you just, oh, well, this doesn't matter? So we need to be careful. And sometimes when I read the word, I reverse things. And you probably say, oh, I distort it. No, but I'm thinking, if we walk in the light, then Jesus' blood cleanses us. But if we're not walking in the light, well, does his blood not cleanse us? Or is it that we just don't care? So this is the first challenge. This is the challenge that says sin breaks fellowship with God. Well, it does break fellowship with God. Now we move on to the second one. Denial that sin actually exists in our nature. Let's move on to verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say, isn't it interesting that these little ifs, the first one is if we claim, if I say, It's interesting, isn't it? This is me. This is what I'm saying. But actually God is looking at it from a different angle. And we need to take that into account. So if we claim that we have no sin or we are without sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we claim that we're without sin, pardon me. So, what do we call sin then? Is it psychological? Is it simply a social problem? Or is it in relation to God? Sin's an odd word, isn't it? Because we don't really hear it anywhere else apart from in a church situation. We don't really hear it just in the normal conversation. But in church situations, we hear it often a lot. And people have lived under the condemnation of that. Now, we needn't live under the condemnation of sin because there is forgiveness. But we first of all need to deal with it. And this is what John is saying here. If we say, I've got no sin, well, I've got no sin, so I don't need to do anything about it. Well, we deceive ourselves because actually we do. We do. This is where we stand. So what do we do? However, if we confess, and many of you would have learnt this verse by heart. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. If we confess. Now, that's not easy. Because I don't think confession comes easy to humans. We don't like to admit that we're wrong or that we're out of sorts or that something is not quite right. But God says you need to confess your sin. If we confess, that is acknowledge before God, our sins, that's the result of our nature and our practice, a mixture of both, how we are and what we've done. If we're willing to confess that, he will forgive and cleanse. He's faithful and just. Now, it's the same question. It's the same question. If we don't confess, well, what happens? If we don't confess, if we just say, hang on a minute, no, well, we just live with that, don't we? And it's almost as if God then says, right, up on the shelf, because I can't do anything more with you. What I've done here in Jesus is to give the provision for forgiveness. You now have to do your part and confess. Confess your standing before me. But if you do, how wonderful. I can't deny myself, God says. I will forgive you. How wonderful. How wonderful that is. I will forgive, and not only forgive, but again, depending on your translation, I will forgive and cleanse. And I just love the way the Amplified puts it. It just says, will cleanse, remove all sin and guilt and keep us cleansed from its forms and manifestations. How incredible that God is prepared to do that. I mean, this is the God that we believe in. If Jesus hadn't come and we'd made statues and idols, as Colleen said, well, we would have no hope, would we? We would have no assurance of being forgiven. We would be going up a million steps every week in penance, or we'd be lighting little sticks, or we'd be offering fruit, or burning money, or doing other things. How wonderful it is to be able to come to God and know that he's prepared to forgive us when we confess. How wonderful. The last little bit there. Forgiveness and cleansing are conditional on confession. Blessing comes with confession. Here sin is denied. We need to be careful. Now, the last one. This is the third one that John talks about. And he says there in these last few verses, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So if we claim we haven't sinned, no, that's not me. That's not me. I am not a sinner. Well, we make God a liar because he says we are. He says we are. And his word is not in us. John is so concerned that people are not weighed down with sin. So he writes these lovely little words. These lovely words. My little children, I'm writing to you so that you may not sin. So be aware, don't sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. How wonderful. Jesus the righteous. We're not righteous, but he makes us righteous. Now that lovely word that's written there, we have an advocate. An advocate. Again, depending on where you look. Some say the word is comforter. Some say the word is a person who comes alongside a friend to support them. How lovely that is. That if we sinned, although John doesn't want us to, but if we do, we have someone who comes alongside of us like a friend and comforts us and brings the assurance of forgiveness. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. That this is what God does for us. Now, the problem is that these people, this last group of people, the deniers that said sin doesn't show in our conduct, people have said this is the most blatant. I'm not a sinner. This isn't for me. All right? Well, we need, don't we? The conviction of God's Spirit. And as I've got up there, superior enlightenment. You know, I'm not in this category. I'm above that. I'm above that. Now, we've had people in the Christian church throughout the years who have said, you know, sinless perfection. I've reached a stage where I am, as it were, perfect. There are other people who were worried sick, and what they said is, if I sin after I'm baptised, I'll be going to hell. So they would wait until they were just ready. Is this the last gasp? Quick, get me down to the water for a baptism so I can't sin after I've been baptised. Well, I'd reckon that'd finish you off anyhow. But yes, we need to be aware, friends, that we are not above what God says. See, these people were saying, I'm in an elite category. This really doesn't fit me. Well, God says it does. For we are all in that category of sinfulness. But, if we do sin, and isn't it lovely that God realises that that's what's going to happen? So he said, I understand you humans. This is what is going to happen. Yes, you might strive to be obedient. You might accept the forgiveness that I give. But it's as if next week it'll be the same. But the lovely thing is that if, as far as the east is from the west, God separates and God remembers no more, it's not as if we come tomorrow and say, ah, it's me again, and it's the same problem. Because God basically says, what problem? That's forgotten. I don't remember what it was yesterday. It's only we who remember those things. We need to grasp what God is saying. That is, I am the forgiver and the forgetter when you are willing to confess and come before me as one of my children. How wonderful that is. Hey, Christine? Yes, it's wonderful. So, friends, John writes because his concern is that we don't sin, but that we have a right attitude, that we know forgiveness, and that together we share in the joy of our God. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we come before you today, and we're conscious that we're sinful people, but at the same time, we are just so delighted that even though we might be sinful people, we are forgiven people. We are rejoicing people. We are delighted people because we know our God and you know us. So we come this morning and say thank you for these wonderful words from John, who reminds us that yes, people say they're Christians, but they don't live like it. People think they're above the word of God. But Lord, we come, place ourselves under your word, under your authority, and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and as Saviour, he is the forgiver. Thank you, our Father. Make us sensitive to the things that we need to confess so that we might live in relationship with you. Amen.